Hi, you've reached the High Fashion Hotline.
Hi, my family's going to a tailgate and I want our style to stand out from the crowd.
Just go to Old Navy.
Old Navy?
Yep, Old Navy's got all the latest fall styles. Plus, during Old Navy's colossal sale, you'll save up to 50% off store-wide.
Did you say up to 50% off?
I did, so don't sit on the sidelines. Old Navy has the perfect pants from $19, stylish dresses from $15, and comfy tees for the family from just $6 right now at Old Navy and OldNavy.com.
We're cheering for Old Navy.
High Fashion, Old Navy. Valid 10-2 to 10-10, select styles only.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am not joined, as always, by Harrison Fagan. He is out. He is ducking me like Lonzo Ball ducks De'Aaron Fox. So in his place, I am bringing on Adam Morris of Locked On Nuggets, of Denver Stiffs, and of, most importantly, the SB Nation Summer League House. How you doing, Adam?
I'm good, but you know, it's not, Harrison's not ducking you. He's ducking me. This is the, I think, fourth appearance on this show, and it's never been with Harrison. He has yet to come on here with him. But I don't want to be the De'Aaron Fox. I want to be Lonzo Ball. So it doesn't quite work perfectly.
Just because you want to be here.
Yeah, exactly.
You want.
Yep, that works. But he is ducking me, so what the heck.
He absolutely is. He's... You know, he actually says when he can't make a show, he's like, hey, get Adam, just because I know you like having Adam on the show, but I don't like being on the show with Adam. So just make sure you talk to him and get that out of your system, and then I'll be back at it on Monday.
I know your Laker listeners all dislike me already, but I did give him a nice burn the other day on Twitter. I felt bad immediately, but it was one of those like insults that was too good to not do, even mm-hmm. to your buddy.
Yeah.
So I had to.
Wait, what'd you
but
do?
But he said something like Julius Randle had that poster on Plumlee. That was a gorgeous dunk. Mm-hmm. And he put out there like, man, Julius Randle has been amazing this preseason. I just put, that was his fourth point, and the Lakers are down 25 to Denver's reserves.
It's all relative.
The truth was, it's very relative.
It's all relative.
He had a good dunk, but they were getting their butts kicked by Mason Plumlee and Juancho Hernan Gomez.
Well, we're gonna talk about the Lakers because
I'm going full heel now.
I'm in a dark place. I'm in a dark place, especially with, oh, when it God. Comes to a oh, certain God. Second year Los Angeles Laker and a third year former Los Angeles Laker who is not on the team anymore. So I'm in a dark place. You're gonna have to help me out in these trying times. Before we get to that, make sure you're following the show on Audioboom, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Today's Fast Break, Spotify, Alexa, Lakers Nation, and Lakers Outsiders. Make sure you're using those promo codes all over the place. But let's get into this, Adam. Because all right, let's just start here. Because my timeline, my mentions, my notifications are there. It's a wasteland as of right now. It's not ever really good.
Come on, yeah.
it's really rarely like a decent place. But
you've got takes. You've got some hot takes sometimes.
This just happened right now. This just happened. Ready?
Yeah.
At RealCast912 says, you have to be the worst Laker fan of all time, just negative about everything.
Oh, God. here's the thing. Lakers fans are just so unanimously like across the board so overly optimistic all the time, and it works out a lot. Like, it works out for the Lakers more often than not, but they're so optimistic. So you being like a regular person and like honestly, even you are over the top, let's be honest. Like, yeah. Even you are like,
by
way
Laker
too much
fan
of a homer.
Standards, I'm regular, but I'm not really normal.
No, yeah, you're still a freaking like ridiculous homer. So yes, it's hilarious. I'm telling you, I'm gonna eat this up because I've said this every time I've come on your show. You guys will land on your feet. I don't know how far you'll fall, but the fall will eventually finish with you landing on your feet. So I'm going to enjoy this. I think it's hilarious. What are you guys on? Year two of this, like, maybe year three of a rebuild, and you're already like
year five. Like they haven't been to the playoffs in like 5 years.
Yeah, but you've only been rebuilding for like three of those.
All right, so it's at least I think the rebuild technically started when Dwight Howard departed, right?
Like you think?
As soon as he took off, I think that's when.
D'Angelo was like step one of the rebuild. That's kind of how I look at it.
Well, but they had drafted Julius Randle the year before that. He just didn't play.
Right. Yeah.
So like I would say it's year because Randle's in his fourth year. I kind of think the rebuild coincides with Julius Randle's career and like really we're 4 years in, and I'm honest to God asking this question: where's the progress?
It's a legitimate question, I think, for Lakers fans, even though I'm way higher on like the likelihood that the Lakers make a pretty immediate turnaround next summer. Mm-hmm. But I do think if I'm trying to be objective and look at this team that you guys have, there's a lot of like players you go, those guys are nice. Like, yeah, that guy's good. You know, he's mm-hmm. good. I don't think there's a roster where you say, oh, this is jumping off the screen. I'm a huge Lonzo Ball guy, so that's my dude. I think he's a stud. I think he's gonna be bad this year because every rookie is bad, especially at the point guard position. But long term, I think he's a stud. You guys are gonna love him. But everybody else on the roster, I kind of look at and say they're nice. Ingram's the guy that I think has a tremendous upside, but he's not a guy that I'm like running to the bank to bet my life savings that he's gonna be the savior of the Lakers franchise. So, but at the same time, it's going to work out. You have a lot of okay pieces that I'm sure you can assemble to become good very quickly.
So I think the way I would kind of put this, and I was trying to formulate a look, we'll get into like me standing on ledges here in a second. But while the game was going on tonight, the way I kind of put it was like, yeah, the Lakers have a whole bunch of kids who you kind of say like, okay, it looks like there might be something there, you know. And like Lonzo Ball, you say like, okay, if he does this, 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 and this, he could be really good.
Lonzo's the only guy I wouldn't use him as the example. I think all these other guys, I see what you're saying, and like Kuzma, I think Kuzma's a player. That dude's a stud too. Mm-hmm. But I see what you're saying about they're not can't miss guys. And right. Even you could say Lonzo, like if people say he's not a can't miss guy, I get it. I think he's closer to a can't miss guy than most. But no, you're right about all the other guys. They're not can't miss. And the progress is going to be, I think the thing I've learned with Denver is, and with Moutier, obviously Moutier's the guy. Denver's had this rebuild. When the rebuild started, you thought, okay, Moutier and Nurkic, that was the first piece. Mm-hmm. And then like Gary Harris, it was like, okay, he's all right. And then, they got Jokic, and it was like, okay, this guy could be all right. Wancho, same thing. Now, Moutier's the guy that you don't even count. Like, he's probably not even in the rotation for Denver anymore. And Gary Harris just signed an $84 million extension. Like, you don't know at this point, I think, what guys are going to be, you know, how they're going to develop. Everybody develops at a different pace. And in the NBA, you almost have to throw out, like, the first year or two sometimes kind of projecting forward. So you're right that I don't see, like, a ton of blue chippers in there. But at the same time, like Ingram's still good, Randall's still good, Kuzma's still good. It's not like these guys have reached their limit by any means. This is how it goes rebuilding. Welcome to the rebuilding class.
And that's the other thing that kind of needs to be mentioned is that the Lakers have never rebuilt like this.
Yeah, you're not used to this.
This is completely uncharted territory. And honestly, like Los Angeles sports fans are rarely in this kind of situation where you're kind of, you look around and you're like, okay, where's the actual direction? But like the Dodgers were bad and they were just bad, you know, and then they were sold and they were purchased by a better ownership group and then they became really good really quickly. It's really rare that a Los Angeles sports franchise goes through a rebuild that goes, that is consistent from the ground to the penthouse. Right. Like that almost never happens out here because, frankly, it's kind of hard to it's hard to be patient.
This isn't great. And I don't know that you guys are going to do that either. Like I think it's not going to be like looking at it you know, you have to go through every step. You guys have to go through like the first two steps. You have, the Lakers have to bring enough of these guys along that they're very tradable assets. And I don't mean to like degrade players by calling them assets, but I'm just saying you have to get to the point where you can say like Julius Randle, maybe some of these guys might be part of the long-term plan, but I'm just going to use examples. You might get to the point where you say, you know, Kuzma and Randle, very highly coveted players, and if a team is going to get rid of the superstar, that's a pretty good haul for them. And I don't know if that they're there right now. They're nice players, but I think, you know, by the time next year comes around, those guys, you want their value to be high enough that you can just like fast track it to the next stage. That's my opinion, at least.
Yeah, well, all right. Let's just handle this first and foremost, because a lot of people who are listening right now, especially if they follow me on Twitter, are kind of wondering, okay, when are you going to get to the Ingram stuff? I can't figure out what Brandon Ingram is actually good at.
Yeah.
Like, what? I mean, you kind of think like, okay, for his size, he's a decent ball handler. Yeah. For his age, he's a decent rookie. But in terms of, without needing a disclaimer, without needing a qualifier, I can't figure out what Brandon Ingram is good at on a basketball court.
I'm not going to go that far nearly. I like Ingram. I don't love him. I mean, Laker fans like him a lot more than I do. But I think he's good. The thing about him is his weakness is the thing that's going to be a weakness until it's not, if it's not, and that's his strength. He's got some decent footwork. His shot's not great, but it's good. He's got a lot of good moves. He has a lot of basketball feel and skill. Especially in an individual level, I think like some of the team stuff is a little bit sloppy. You know, he has a lot to learn on that. But just like one-on-one skills, I think he's got a lot of them. The problem is, and it's going to be a problem for him, I think, for a while. He's not going to be able to overcome the physical limitations until he's like physically ready for it. And he's a guy that I just think will take a little bit of time. The one thing I would say about Brandon Ingram and where I think he's going to develop the most during the season, I think the NBA as a whole is moving more towards guys developing just more off-ball skills. And not just off-ball skills, but their one-on-one skills, it's increasingly becoming less of a catch the ball, size up the court, and go, and much more of a just catch it on the move, on a handoff, on a pick and roll, on a DHO, and make a decision and try to attack. And I think that's the part that he's going to grow by leaps and bounds this year, and it'll open up his game. So I get your frustration, like, looking at the stats from tonight, and I didn't watch the game, 29 minutes and only 6 shot attempts. That this the 1 for 6, whatever. 6 shot attempts tells me like he was struggling to get shots up, and that's the thing that you'd be concerned about. But like, if I look at him in a vacuum, he's got enough skill for me to be intrigued by. It's just going to grow a lot slower than you think.
Well, and that's the thing that I kind of keep coming back to, is that the kid still can't drink legally. He's really young.
And I hate, not that you're doing, like, everybody's different. A lot of people, I've been trying not to call these dudes kid, because I said it once, like, in a public setting. Like, it wasn't in front of a player, but just in front of team people one time. And I was thinking, like, dude, this dude's like 20. And I'm calling him a kid. It's kind of weird. So I know you didn't mean anything by it, because I say it all the time too. But it's something I think is weird.
Well, I think it's a matter of us getting old, Adam.
Yes, yeah. They could be our kids, like, at this age. So, yeah.
But so like I said though, it's tough. So again, it comes back to the Lakers have, when they drafted Magic, Kareem was there. When they drafted Kobe, Shaq was there. When they drafted James Worthy, Magic and Kareem were there. The Lakers are in completely uncharted, and Laker fans are in completely uncharted territory when it comes to an entire core built up of young guys who have really bright futures, but there isn't a star there to help those guys grow. And, you know, obviously that would be ideal. You know, it'd be great if like LeBron showed up next summer, and you know, some think it might happen, others don't.
He wouldn't show up with all these dudes though. I mean, that's the thing, is LeBron's not showing up to teach these guys how to play basketball.
No.
He might teach one of them.
It would be Lonzo.
Yeah.
It won't be Ingram. It won't be a guy playing his position. We saw that with Wiggins.
But yeah, exactly. But the thing is, you got to get Ingram up to like his highest value, because he has value right now. Like, a lot of teams will line up to take Ingram. Mm-hmm. But next summer, if he's like really a budding star, that's when you can do a lot more with him. And that's why I think the Lakers are in a weird spot. And I know your listeners are going to hate this more than any other podcast I've done, but that's just what's different about the Lakers than most teams is I don't see this as a four-year rebuild with this crew. I see it as like you guys are like the Bain Capital. Remember Mitt Romney? You come in, you take these like depressed assets and you try to shine them and sell them off for as much as you can. That's what you guys are going to have to do with this team.
I'm so angry you just called me Mitt Romney.
Yeah, you guys are – that's what it is.
No, I mean – yes, I would love to believe you. I would love to, like, it would be great if I could just walk away from this or not walk away, but just kind of go to sleep tonight, my head hit the pillow and smile like, don't worry about it. Next summer, LeBron is coming. Next summer, Paul George is coming and this and that and the other. But I would like something more sustainable than that type of rebuild. I would, because what happens when their careers are over? You know, yeah. If that doesn't happen, if LeBron or Paul George don't come, well, then now you're leaning on Brandon Ingram's development. And I think he's done some improving over the course of his career. Obviously, after the All-Star break last year, he became a completely different player. And then as he came into this preseason, he's kind of regressed back to what he was at the beginning of last season. But you saw that there were seeds and there was potential growth there. It's just a matter of maintaining that progress consistently. And it's tough for me. Like you said, he got, you know, obviously you didn't say it, but the stats show it. He got 6 shots up tonight. And unfortunately, because of what the Lakers are asking him to do, if he isn't a scorer, I don't really know what he does to impact the game, right? Like, he's okay defensively, especially when you consider, like, his age and him being in his second year. He's okay. But he needs to do more. If he only gets 6 shots up, he needs to, you know, get a few assists here and there. Get a few rebounds.
Right.
Where are you impacting the game? And I just... It would be one thing I need to see from Ingram, because a lot of like the preview shows and other podcasts that I did heading into the year would ask, like, all right, what are you expecting from Ingram in terms of counting stats? I said, I don't give a shit about counting stats. What I need is to see him impacting the game, having an impact on a basketball game, because a lot of times last year he wasn't. And tonight and much of this preseason, it's been that same kind of thing where he isn't really impacting the game in any meaningful way.
I think part of this is you might have just – it's preseason, first of all. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, these things, there's so much other stuff going on and the lineups and all the experimentation. But I think the other part of it is, you know, I it's going to sound like I'm low on him, but I'm just not. I just think that – I never thought he was a superstar. I think he can be a really good player. I just don't think he's a superstar. And so I kind of grade him on that curve, and then also grade him on the curve of he has physical limitations that not every even 19-year-old has. And so those guys just develop a little bit slowly. So I would say don't give up on Brandon Ingram. I'm still very high on him as a player, but maybe just change the you know, the expectations of what you expected him in year 2 to like make some kind of leap, because I just don't think that's coming for him. But I also don't think it's going to need to. The Lakers aren't going to be good this year, but I think there'll be plenty of reason for excitement with their young guys. And then on top of that, you know, you got another guy in Kuzma that plays a similar position and role that might steal some of the hype from Ingram this year. Who knows?
Richard Sherman would say so. Did you see that tweet?
I did not. No.
The Seattle, I think it's Richard Sherman, right? He's the Seattle
quarterback. Yeah, yeah.
He tweeted out that Kyle Kuzma is what the Lakers hope Brandon Ingram would be.
Kuzma's funny, man, because I was off on him.
Of people were. He went 27.
Well, yeah, I know. Yeah, he would fit on the Nuggets quite nicely right now. he was funny because at Summer League, I kind of chalked it up to him being on fire because he kept making everything. But it's carried over, so he must still be on fire from Summer League, because he was a 30% three-point shooter in college. All of a sudden he gets the pro and he's like lighting it up from behind the arc. So
I think that it was a weird thing, and I think it was Draft Express who said this, because they do a lot. One thing I like that they do is they try to figure out what type of shooter a player will become, like especially a three-point shooter a player will become. And they were 100% on the money with Ingram. They said that he wasn't going to shoot as well from behind the line as he did in college, because a lot of his threes came from right on the college line. Whereas like Kuzma, a lot of his threes were coming from deeper. Like when he took a step back, that his percentage actually went way up when he was shooting from behind, from further out.
He's nice.
Yeah,
he's
nice, man. Let's shift the conversation to that though. Any final thoughts? You would just to put a bow on the Brandon Ingram conversation. You would not include him to move Luol Deng's contract, right?
No, I wouldn't do that. That's not the type of player you do that for. I mean, Ingram's still a nice player. He still has a lot of upside. So no.
So would you have done the same thing with D'Angelo Russell then?
No, I was high on D'Angelo. Yeah, I was a D'Angelo fan.
A lot of people are angry. Again, it's going to shock you, but people aren't thrilled in my mentions that I dare mention the D'Angelo Russell trade every so often. But
anyway. The guy I was low on was Zubats last year. That was the guy that I think Lakers fans, for whatever reason, just thought that dude was a stud, and I thought he was not a stud. So
it's all about expectations. I mean, he was some dude that like just showed up and he played decently, and then you know they had expectations for him in the summer league, and he played terrible. So now expectations are back down to the basement, kind of where they belong. So
Clarkson's another guy I'm not high on. I don't really care for him. Caruso, I'm high on. I like Caruso.
Me too. remember that like month long period where Jordan Clarkson and Gary Harris were being compared.
I don't, but
there was a stretch. I remember
they're kind of like yin and yang in a lot of ways. Is what's funny. Yeah. Like they're very, I guess. It's what you look for in a player, and Gary Harris is kind of the opposite of Clarkson in a lot of ways.
It's the difference between individual talent and their ability to impact the game. I think Jordan Clarkson has talent, but I don't think he impacts a game the way you would like to see somebody impact the game, especially at his pay rate. I think Gary Harris is I would probably say he's, man, I don't think he's as athletically gifted as Jordan Clarkson is, but his actual talents allow him to impact a game in ways that Jordan Clarkson could never. You know,
if they played one-on-one, Clarkson would beat him every single time. Like, I don't think Gary Harris would ever beat him.
Mm-hmm.
But Gary Harris stays in his lane, and he has a very well-defined lane that he's in a very like important role that he excels at. Just so consistently, he's probably the most consistent Nugget player. Jordan Clarkson, I'm not sure he has a lane because he's kind of a creator, but I don't think he's good enough to be a creator, like to be that kind of guy, other than maybe like an energy guy off the bench. And so I just don't know that he has a defined role in the NBA. He's not good enough at the role that he needs to fill, in my opinion.
It's the same question that I have about Ingram. It just so happens that Clarkson, I think, is 3 or 4 years older at this point. Is what is Jordan Clarkson good at? He's good at going to his right and getting to the basket, but he's not particularly great at finding people. This isn't a Jordan Clarkson.
The difference, yeah, I know, but the difference with Ingram is I think his role, I think you can change role / expectations for Ingram and he can fill that. Like, I don't think he's a number one, but I think he could be a really good number, maybe number two, but certainly like a good player on a team, like a good 3, 4, 5, like good, just a good piece. And he might not be the Kevin Durant of your championship team, but he could be a very important piece. Mm-hmm. You know, that has a ton of versatile skill. So that's just how I look at him.
He needs to adjust the way he approaches the game, just flat out. Mm-hmm. Like he's so focused on what he does individually. You know, if he's guarding somebody, you can see him focus when his guy gets the ball. Like there's a noted difference when his guy has the ball versus when his guy doesn't have the ball. And I think it's like, all right, I'm not going to let my guy score when he has the ball, but I'm also not going to go out of my way to necessarily help somebody in the event that they need help, right? And then offensively, it's the same kind of thing. You can see a noted difference in the way he holds himself when he has the ball. But when he doesn't have the ball and he isn't cutting to the basket to be able to score, he just kind of floats around out there, and you know, it's just you can't do that in the NBA.
These are the Andrew Wiggins types, though. I mean, because that's like an Andrew Wiggins thing, and I think their games maybe there's some like overlap there. But that's he's young enough though that I think he can develop some of. Sometimes those one-on-one skills can translate into off-ball things, you know, off-ball skills and things like that. So I just wouldn't give up on him yet. I think you're right, though. I don't. his role is not going to be a number one, and probably not a number two either, but he can be such a versatile multi-tool, and that person is very important in the NBA.
All right, let's talk about somebody who is similarly important, because every team needs a quote-unquote Jesus on their team. Kyle Kuzma came out of nowhere and is taken. I think there's always a bump for Lakers role players. There's obviously a bump because those guys wind up getting paid more than they necessarily should on the free agent market. But like Kyle Kuzma right now has become like a cult hero out here. I needed you to come on here and talk me off of the ledge with Ingram, but I also need you to talk me off of, like, allow me to stop myself from wagering my entire livelihood and house and future estate on that this guy becomes a Hall of Famer.
Okay. Jesus. Well, I mean, if you're at this point, I don't know if I can help you. Like, if you're already getting the neck tattoo that says Kuzma or whatever, like, then you're gone. But no, he's good, man. I like him. Again, expectations are huge. And, you know, 27th pick. Is that what he was? 27th?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 27th pick. You know, he's already looking to far outperform that. And I think it's legit. I don't think it's like just a hot streak. But at the same time, this is the honeymoon part, and it's going to be the honeymoon part for a while. He's going to have to figure out what role he is. I also don't know that if he's like a number one type guy. I would highly doubt it. So, you know, there's many steps ahead. But for right now, you have to enjoy these types of things. You just have to enjoy the Kuzma roller coaster of and I think that'll be one of the high parts. I think there's going to be a lot of high points of the year for the Lakers fans this year, but he'll certainly be one of them.
What do you think he becomes?
Score? I mean, it's hard to say, because what have I seen of him? 2 games against the Nuggets and 4 summer league games or 5 summer league games, so I'm not exactly an expert on Kyle Kuzma. I think he'll be a scorer. He does a lot of good things off ball. I think he can be a starting caliber player. That's like an important piece of it. That's certainly within the realm of possibility, or a bench, type scorer guy on a good team. So there's a lot of skill to him. How tall is he? He's like 6'8", 6'9".
He's a bigger kid.
Is he taller than that?
He played the
6'9"?
Four only. Kyle Kuzma height.
Yeah, he's 6'9". I mean, yeah. he moves to me like a guy that's not there. He moves to me like a guy that's like 6'6". So he's that tall and that fluid. There's a role for him in this league. Especially, what is the league going to? It's going to having 3 guys in the 6'7" to 6'9", 6'10" range, and he fits it. So he's going to be good. You guys got a good one there.
All right, so I agree with everything he said, and I was obviously exaggerating a second ago when I thought that he was going to be a Hall of Famer. But the one thing I really like about Kuzma is tonight, and this is the anti-Brandon Ingram take. This is the antithesis of what Brandon Ingram might, what Brandon Ingram is in the NBA, is that tonight, the Lakers, we're recording this on Sunday night, the Lakers just beat the Sacramento Kings, who I think are going to suck this year. they are not good. But Kuzma did not shoot particularly well, especially by his standards, which have been off the charts so far. And yet he got on the boards. He had a couple nice drive-in dishes, and he impacted the game. And look, Brandon Ingram at 20 years old is probably more talented at the game of basketball than Kyle Kuzma is or was at 20 years old. But I think Kyle Kuzma right now, and again, he's had two years. He played a couple extra years in college, so he's a little bit mature, I would say, in terms of basketball IQ than Brandon Ingram is. But Kuzma impacts basketball games. And I think that, like, I really wish it'd be really cool on NBA Twitter, instead of listing, like your top 5 point guards. Like, I wish we would add a word there and say top 5 impactful point guards. Instead of saying, like, top 5 centers, I wish we would say top 5 impactful centers. Because, like, people always point to somebody like Boogie Cousins, who I think is one of, if not the most talented bigs in the league. But I don't think he's as impactful as he should be. Whereas, like, Jokic, your guy, is not as talented, but he is really impactful. And tonight, I think we saw a part of Kuzma's game where he's able to be impactful on an NBA game despite not shooting very well. And that's what I've been waiting a year plus for from Ingram.
I do think the age is huge. I mean, he's 2 years older, right?
Yes,
and that's just a huge thing. I think all expectation again, Ingram's a guy that just like I would have predicted Ingram would be a slow developer at the NBA level. Like I never thought it was going to be like, oh, start of year two, he's just dominant. I mean, I always thought it would take this. And you know what's funny? At Summer League, I thought Ingram looked really good. And part of that is I think the physical gap is smaller between Summer League players. And then when you get to the NBA, you have to just go up against like guys, the gap gets a lot bigger. So I think that's a big part of it. Kuzma, I hope you're right about the impact all around. I think he's a guy that can score on so many different people. He has good footwork. He's got, you know, some good moves. He's aggressive. He attacks hard, which I think is important for players.
He had a move tonight on George Hill. There was a switch, and Kuzma had the ball out on the left wing. He took a dribble to his right and then made a spin move to his baseline and finished. I don't know if he finished with his left, but he finished. He went around George Hill, who was a good defender.
Yeah.
He went around George Hill and finished at the rim with soft touch. And Jen was sitting right next to me as it happened. And I started chuckling mad, like a madman. And Jen, you know, Jen asked like, what's your deal? And I said, the move that he just made, rookie should not be able to make on that type of defender. It was a really impressive move.
I think he's good. And you know what makes me wonder? Basketball IQ is becoming such an important thing. And I shouldn't say IQ. It's a combination of IQ and feel and just understanding the game. And I wonder if 3 and 4 year players are going to become more and more, not in vogue, because I think teams are always going to draft young and potential. But I just wonder if they're going to be like, they're going to have a very important role in the league going forward, because some players take time to develop this feel. And it's so important if you're not a superstar player to have that. Your superstars, you know, they have the ball in their hands, so maybe the feel is a little bit different. But just knowing how to move off ball and cut and space and all of these things, I wonder if like second, third, fourth year players get that better at the college level, because that's the kind of stuff you do work on at the college level. So with Kuzma, with regards to that, I wonder how much of this, had he been drafted 2 years ago, what he would look like at this point at 22 years old versus where he is now. If it was actually, he's an example of a guy that benefited from college basketball.
It's kind of interesting with Kuzma because there are so many what ifs. Like, what if Kuzma was drafted top 10?
Right.
If yeah. Kuzma was drafted, if Kuzma was drafted top 10, people would be, there's already a cult following of him in Lakers Twitter and, you know, NBA Twitter, somewhat. But if he was drafted top 10, people would be saying, all right, it's definitely time to trade Randall. It's definitely time to trade Nance. You got to get right. This guy minutes. This guy, you know, should he be playing ahead of Brandon Ingram at the small forward if he's capable at it, you know? And just like you said, if he was drafted 2 years ago, would he have the ability to impact the game he did the way he did tonight? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. And look, if I'm it'd be really interesting if this was one of those test cases where a young player realizes, hey, wait, it might be a good idea for me to stick around another year and learn the game a little bit more.
The problem is financially, I don't think it ever is. I mean, Kuzma went late in large part because of his age. So that's the part that I just think is so interesting. And maybe, you know, with the D League and some of these two-way contracts and stuff, more guys will be able to fit that mold. Like, you know, this is a thing I'm dealing with. Like Malik, we have Malik Beasley here in Denver, and he's, I think, a very talented player. Can't get on the floor because he's there. He's just behind some other guys. And when he does, when they send him down to the D League, he's the superstar and he scores like 30 a game. And it's one of those things where I think maybe 5 years from now, teams have their D League set up. If it were me and I was running a team, I would have a D League set up with doppelgangers of my actual team because I would want, like, if it was Brandon Ingram last year and you were like, this is what we think he needs to work on, you're not going to send him down there to score 40 points against a bunch of scrubs. You're going to send him down there to work on pick and roll or whatever, you know, like attacking quickly. And so those are the kinds of things I wonder. Maybe the NBA, just because I'm not a college guy and I kind of am like anti-NCAA, just kind of on a principle thing, But maybe the NBA can help develop these guys, you know, in the future a little bit better than what they are currently, because I think that might be actually what they need.
Yeah, I think that'd be really interesting. it'd be so funny if, like, you just saw NBA franchises just signing guys who kind of sort of fit the mold of guys on their starting five just so that their kids could go down there. And
well, why not? I mean, honestly, think about it. Lonzo Ball is a very unique guy to play with. You go down and send him to the D League, and you have the D League equivalent of Allen Iverson. Like, what does that teach your guy? He's not learning anything of value. He's learning, like, a whole different system, and he's trying to fit in. His role's different. But if you signed, you know, you're always going to have teams in the D-League. They always have, like, four or five guys they're trying to bring along, and, like, oh, this guy might be might turn out to something. You have a roster of 15 guys. Why don't you put the other 10 are just, like, stand-ins, you know, so that you can run a system that mimics what you have. That's just my kind of wild idea.
Yeah. It'd be fun. I'm all for that idea.
They could hire you. You just have to impersonate Lonzo Ball nonstop.
I mean, he does shoot he plays like a left-handed player. So,
I've seen your layup. I don't know.
All right. Last thing before we take off, and thank you again for joining us, Adam. This is a lot of fun. The Lakers have played the Nuggets twice. You have seen as much of Lakers basketball as any non-Lakers, you know, beat reporter or whatever, or Laker fan, as anybody out there. Would you, if you were hired tomorrow as the Lakers president of basketball operations or the GM or whatever it is, would you continue to pursue the youth movement, or would you do whatever it takes to line the stars up so that the stars come?
No, I mean, I think you have to look at the stars. Because here's the thing about the NBA in this era that we're in, and I think teams are finally starting to kind of catch on to this. The window of opportunity doesn't have to be huge. It might actually be small. Like Oklahoma City went all in on this idea that maybe they just have 1 year to go at it. I think the Lakers are uniquely positioned to exploit those type of situations, and they're uniquely set up. I haven't loved this rebuild that they've done. I haven't loved every pick, and I don't love their roster, but they do have enough guys that I think you can turn into trade assets, and that gets back to what I was saying. I would try to say, what is Larry Nance Jr. good at? I'm going to try to make him the best at that he can. What is Brandon Ingram good at? I'm going to try to make him the best at he can. And I would look at it as just raising these guys as – it's not trade value, because you're going to end up with some of them, and you don't know where the winds are going to blow and what's going to happen. But I would just be like, we're going to develop – the players that we have here to be the best NBA players they can be, but they're probably not sticking around. You have to just make these guys as valuable as possible on the trade market, and I would go very hard next summer at trying to open up a window, because I think there will be a window of opportunity there. I know that the LeBron stuff is uncertain, and Paul George going to Oklahoma City, I think at this moment he's probably more likely to sign in Oklahoma City again next year than ever before. But I don't think that's going to be the same in like 6 months. So I think my goal would still be to assemble a super team. But to do that, you have to treat this year as if it is a rebuild, and not just a rebuild, but understanding what these guys are good at and then starting to package them that way.
Yeah, I would tend to agree. And unfortunately, that kind of leads somebody to some awkward questions about some of the guys on the roster and what they're, are they best suited as players that you hope to have as your team develops, or are they best sort, would they be right, best used as guys to get you to those places that you need to get to this off season?
I think most of them are the latter, but there are a couple of them that I would look on and say, you know, who would fit well in a theoretical super team? And Lonzo's a guy I think would fit really well.
Absolutely.
There's a couple other guys on the roster. I'm not very high on Larry Nance Jr. as like some kind of great prospect, but he could be a very good energy. Like, he has a role on a team it's a low paid role. You know, he's kind of a Kenneth Faried in some ways, but you know what, that there's a need for that on a team. So he might be a guy that's very valuable. That's kind of what I would start to look at. You think, I don't know if Caruso's like an actual rotation backup point guard or anything like that, but he's a solid steadying hand that I believe, can shoot. So there's a couple of guys, Clarkson, Randall. I'm not too high on those guys as guys that fit in on a super team. Ingram, TBD, but probably also not a guy that'll fit on a super team, but maybe.
Yeah, I would probably say Lonzo, absolutely. I would agree with you 100% because he doesn't necessarily need the ball all the time, which is important when you have guys like LeBron on your potential super team. The other one is Kuzma, who can stretch the floor, which you always need on a super team. But outside of that, it's really tough to look through the roster and be like, all right, everybody else to me, whatever it would take to move some of these guys, I would do. I would probably look at it and look, I'm operating under the assumption that this is the end game for Magic Johnson and Rob Pelinka. Now, if things changed and I decided that that the Lakers are best served actually playing out this full-on youth movement rebuild, then you don't trade some of these guys. But
I don't think the rebuild works though with the pieces assembled. Like, I just don't think this is like the recipe for a good pizza. You know what I mean? Like,
I definitely don't see any pineapple. That's true.
Yeah, you've got a lot of ingredients. You're gonna have to trade some of those ingredients to make a good pizza. Even worst case scenario. So,
yeah. All right, man. This, as always, was fun. How do you feel about your Nuggets?
You know, I feel good about them. I think they're going to be good. My whole thing is I've never been sold on Malone, and he's doing some things in this preseason and has said some things this preseason that make me, like, even every year I just keeps lowering the bar. So one of the things he said this year, Nuggets had the number one offense for 4 months straight last year, better than the Warriors, Cavs, all these teams. He's in the large part of that's because they gave the ball to Nikola Jokic and let him do his thing. He's like a wizard. Well, Malone's thing so far in the preseason has been, we're going to take the ball out of his hands to kind of save his energy for the defensive end, which he sucks at defense. So it just doesn't make sense to me. Their offense has looked a lot more clunky this year as they've, for whatever reason, decided to change it. They had a number one offense. Let's change that. And so I'm a little bit downer. I'm a little bit lower than maybe I was 2 weeks ago. I just think it's going to take a little bit more time for them to gel. But they're going to be good. Playoff team.
One thing that a thought that really crossed my mind multiple times in both the games that I watched the Lakers play against the Nuggets was like, wow, Jokic doesn't have the ball nearly enough.
Yeah.
It's crazy. He needs the ball a lot more. He's really freaking good. And I think part of it is trying to figure out what they have in Paul Millsap and trying to see what they, you know, what he can be able to do given the amount of money they gave him. I can kind of sort of see it. But I at the end of the day, like you said, they were really good offensively when they gave the ball to Jokic and let him go to work. Not in terms of ISO stuff, but just allowed him to make the right basketball play. And they aren't doing that nearly enough from what I saw.
I think everybody came into the season thinking, okay, they got to work on the defense. The offense is already set. Well, for whatever reason, they changed the offense. And you're like, what on earth are you thinking? So that's why it'll go back, I'm sure, because if they're not top like five, people will start asking questions. But it'll go back. It's just I think it'll be a little bit slower start than I would have hoped.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks, man.
Thank you. Apologies to all Lakers fans.
We'll see how the mentions look. I'll screen grab a couple emails as I get those in. You guys should follow Adam. You guys should listen to the Locked On Nuggets show if you are interested at all in a really interesting Nuggets franchise. Read stuff from Denver Stiffs. That is Adam Morris. I am Anthony Irwin. Harrison will be back again on tomorrow's show. Thanks, everybody, for listening. As always, find it on Audioboom, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Today's Fast Break, Spotify, Alexa, Lakers Nation, and Lakers Outsiders. We'll talk to you soon.